G'day everybody, welcome to our live question and answers. And yeah, each fortnight we seem to be getting a lot of questions through, and yes, we've got a few to get through tonight. And hope everyone's well out there. Hope the cold weather hasn't hit. We've been getting a bit cold weather here, and I don't know about a few others around, but yeah, it's been a cold snap come through a lot of Australia. And yeah, I was working on the weekend and she was pretty chilly, and that was on the coast. So anyway, we've got a few pretty big questions that have come through, sort of some I'll try and condense a little bit just to sort of get to the answer part of it. And the first question I've got here is from Sue. So Sue, I'm not sure how long you've been a member and watching the videos and the training that I've got on the subscription, but there's a few videos in there of different ways I look at things and how I operate horses. Now, you've bought your horse 5 years ago. You've discovered another side to him. You describe him as dominant, shut down, lacking forward, sluggish and unresponsive. So that's something I very commonly come across. Oh, thanks everyone, you're all coming online, that's great. I describe as dominant, at times shut down, lacking forward, sluggish, all that. That's very common in horses, and a lot of horses that have had a bit of work and a bit of experience around people, they start to lack a little bit of desire. I talk about desire a lot more now, and really desire is just, could be scared, could be interested, all that is desire. So we've done a lot of lessons and clinics over the years to work on our relationship and my horsemanship, but I've finally come to the conclusion it comes down to my leadership. I haven't been the strong, confident leader he has needed, but I'm working really hard to be that leader for him, trying to be clearer and more consistent with my cues and body language, be more interesting to him, and following through with what I ask him. There lies the problem. I am changing and he doesn't like being challenged. Okay, so it's an interesting thing. I don't know exactly how you've been working with him, and a lot of people change and horses don't like it. The other thing is the sometimes becoming a leader can cause an argument depending on how we're trying to become the leader. So, and I will get to the nuts of the answer, I think, once I've read the rest of the question. But in the round pen today, we did some groundwork, moving hindquarters, backing up, all on the lead. I removed the halter and asked him to move to my left. He did so, but with attitude, looking outside the pen. I really can't be bothered doing this. I drew him in and changed direction to the right, same deal. I've been trying to work on keeping him out of my bubble. He seems to drift in towards me with his shoulders. We changed direction a couple of times and we stepped up into the trot. He started drifting in and I insisted he stay out. He took off into canter, got really excited, then galloped madly around, snorting, etc. He came up so abrupt and stopped, turned in, stomped towards me, pawed on the ground and snorted. I swear he was saying, "You want a challenge, lady? You got it." I think I've been bitten off more than I can chew. If I had the confidence, and this is an interesting part of it, if I had the confidence, I've gotten really big with my stick and string to keep him off me, not allowing to take another step in my direction, but I didn't feel up for the challenge. Good you weren't up for the challenge. I'll talk about you know, in a second, but the string and the stick and all this sort of thing, I'm starting to get an idea of things. So inside, like through this question, you were shaking in your boots, and you know, and internally it's so hard. And I've been in so many situations that, you know, you you're trying to be strong, but the reality is you are nervous whether you're on the back of a horse or on the ground. And I really appreciate that, because people might see me near a horse and go, well, it's okay for you, you know, you're not scared. And it's like, well, nobody knows me and they know exactly what I feel, but I've been in enough situations to really appreciate what it's like to be on the edge with a horse, and so I'm very careful, and I am and I'm nervous in situations. It's just I just put on that you know, fake it till you make it as well, just like some you know, like I tell other people to do. It's the better you are, you know, sometimes you just pretend to be confident and give yourself a few mental tasks to give you that sort of air of leadership, I suppose. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of it because it's more so, I think we've got to the nuts and bolts of the question. So, Sue, what I'd like to sort of talk about, by the sounds of what you're going through, is you've tried to come in and become a leader with this horse, assert some dominance and some leadership to try and sort of, you know, because the horse is not listening or so, you know, shut down. They become non-observant of people and they're not aware of us so much. So in trying to build an awareness, we sort of go down the track and try and sort of become leaders. Now, if you're a little bit new to sort of what I talk about in my teachings, then I'd like to say that you have to be careful the road of leadership you take, because there's a lot of talk out there that, you know, watch horses in the paddock, look how they deal with each other, and, you know, look, they push each other around, they assert leadership through you know, moving the other one away and that sort of thing. So that's how we become leaders. We have to be very careful with that, because a lot of people that I've met and horses that I've met, and it's interesting talking to the people who own the horses, because I'll get people that will come with horses with maybe similar issues. Now, yours might not have this issue, but I meet a lot of horses that you'll get talking to the person and they'll say, oh, this one's, he's at the bottom of the pecking order. And, you know, so that horse got pushed all the way down pecking order, for instance, to still to feel pretty ordinary and still to be kind of dominant or act funny around people. So I don't think it's healthy to sort of take on a leadership role where we make the horse feel that we're pushing it down the pecking order. So now, to make a horse feel that we're pushing it down the pecking order, is we push it away, okay? We push it away in the way we work. So, you know, we push energy into a horse and the horse moves away from that energy. So I believe that in itself is telling the horse that, you know, we're pushing it away, and that will create anxiety, but it also will create aggression, because a horse that gets pushed away by another horse walks away feeling ordinary, but it's got its ears back, it's angry, it's kind of, you know, it's got that look about it that it just doesn't look happy. And so I'm going to let you think about leadership. I'm going to give an example of leadership. So to be strong, okay, just to mention on the stick and the string, you know, if you would have pushed away with the stick and the string and inserted, but inside you were shaking in your boots. So in your question, you know, in your question, you sort of said, I'm really nervous. So you can't go in and assert like a certain amount of leadership and dominance on a hurt horse and not be centered and grounded. So there's probably a lot of bullies in the world, like people-wise, a lot of bullies out there. There's heaps of them. Not all of them are strong on the inside. So, you know, you might get someone carrying a shotgun and they're tough, but you take the shotgun away and they're not tough. And people who have a good judge of character only are scared of the person when they've got a shotgun because they're kind of dangerous. But take the shotgun away, and that then they see that person who, you know, the person doesn't have a weapon. So from the last, I guess, 8 or 9 years that I've been doing clinics, I see a lot of people who have been given weapons, as in a weapon could just be how to wave a rope at a horse. A weapon could be how to wave a flag. A weapon could be how to just look really tough to, you know, make a horse get out of your space and things like that. And that's kind of empowered a lot of people. And I wasn't aware of this for a long time because I was training horses and giving them back to their people. But when I started doing clinics, it became much more apparent because I was seeing the repercussion of horsemanship and the empowerment of people who were frightened around their horses. What I saw was a lot of horses that were starting to get, you know, sappy ears back and little sort of, you know, aggression poking its head out here and there. So empowering a person with strength is not giving them tools to become assertive. It's empowering a person with strength is teaching them to be more centered and strong on the inside, which is quite hard. And, you know, some people who have been to my clinics have seen me. There's a little thing that I do, and I do it more now. And it's generally I get someone who's kind of a little bit frightened of their horse and frightened of their horse squashing them and things like that. And it's, I basically, and I don't put this on my subscription because if I taught people to do this and they got hurt, I'd probably get sued. But at a clinic where I can manage it, it's a little easier and I can sort of talk them through it and I can manage the lesson. But I'll get a person to stand really centered and really strong, and I'll actually start to sort of push their horse on them a little and say, well, is that horse going to squash you or not? And it scares a lot of people, and it puts them in a very, very vulnerable situation. But what comes out of it is they start to believe in themselves so much so that the horse believes that they're strong and strong enough that they can't be shifted. And it's kind of like you put yourself in the face of danger until you realize it's not as dangerous as it seems. Now, I think that's the first thing to work on to teach horses to show them that we're strong. And so going back to the sort of, you know, giving your weapons to make you empowered, horses see the body language. They don't like the getting pushed away stuff, and they don't like this and that. But the truth is that they see all the little things in between, the times that we kind of leant off them a little, the times that we kind of stepped back a little and we felt a little nervous, and the times that we did this and the times of that. And those times happen more than you believe, more than you realize. And then they see the times that we kind of become empowered and we sort of, you know, get our stick and our flag and we push them off and we teach them to do stuff so we can be the leader. Consistency comes with us being strong the whole time, not being pushy. Take the pushy side of it away, take and put in the strong side of it. And that's what they really see. And that's when they start to sort of stop pushing on us, stop leaning on us, stop rubbing us with their heads and things like that, is when we can be strong in ourselves. So something I'd encourage with your way you work your horse is, I don't know how you've been working it, so, but all I can say is when you're working and doing your groundwork, there are ways to sort of guide a horse's thoughts and put their energy towards their thoughts, opposed to sort of push into them to assert sort of a leadership kind of dominant role. And if I could explain to it like this, when you're working your horse, make the horse feel like you're asking it to go there, not go away. So, you know, if I had someone there and I'd say, hey, why don't we just go over there? And the person goes, oh yeah, I'll go over there. Or I could say, go away. Okay, that just that feeling of that, you know, you might in your mind be just wanting your horse to sort of go out on a circle, but to that horse, that means go away, whereas this means go over there. One makes a horse feel, oh, yeah, will make it feel more okay, the one the other way will make it feel less okay. So if you're getting to the hindquarter and saying, go away, hindquarter, then the horse is going, oh, I've got to get that hindquarter away, go away, shoulders, or go away over there, then all that is just to a horse, go away. Now, so when you assert your leadership, maybe just stand there one day, strong as a tree, and endure a storm for a while and realize that the storm's not going to, you know, fold you, and then the horse will go, oh, wow, this person's quite strong. And then maybe just be a friend for a while to your horse, and then when you teach it to do something, you know, ask it to you know, put your intention more in the direction, whether you ask it to follow a feel out on a rein or something, or a rope when you're doing your groundwork. If you're doing your liberty work, instead of saying go out there, just get it to sort of, you know, think over there a little, and then maybe put some energy to that thought so the horse can just think away and be okay with moving towards his thoughts instead of away from his thoughts that are looking on you, pushing it. So all those things will really help in your leadership. And you might find that attitude and all that will kind of go away when your horse is not feeling like it's getting pushed down the pecking order or something like that. So, yeah, it's hard without the exact details of how you've been working them, but there's so much stuff on the videos that you see of different ways to operate a horse without pushing them away. And there's, and I think there's another thing I was going to say, but I've forgotten on that one. But yeah, all that stuff is very important. And it's been something that I've been trying to understand and work on in my own horsemanship for quite a while. And it came from the words that were, if you push a horse away, they'll soon know where you want them. Ah, that was the other thing. There was something posted quite a little while ago now on the members' Facebook site. And this is the you know, a horse, when it pushes another horse, it's for a reason. And a horse, now this wasn't part of what was in the Facebook thing, but the reality of when horses push other horses, it might be sort of to get away from food, like for protection of food. It might be space. It could be for breeding. But when a horse pushes another horse, in a normal environment, that horse has room to go away. So it's got plenty of room to go, yep, I'll go away. Thanks. See ya. I'm off. So the horse pushes a horse for a reason. That's to say, go away. When we work a horse, we've got it in a round yard or on the end of the rope, and we're saying go away, but then we say come back, go away, come back, go away, come back, go away, come back. That's why horses get really fried and anxious, is because we're telling them 1 minute to go away, but there's no door open for them to leave and stay away, because next minute we've trapped them. And if you've ever put a few horses in a small environment and you've got a dominant horse, watch that. And that's what you'll see, what horses go through around us when we start to push them away, yet we don't leave them the door open to escape through. So if you watch a dominant horse in a small yard, when that other horse is, they'll just keep hammering those horses, and those horses get in a mess because they can't escape. But the dominant horse doesn't see the yards. It just says, you're still in my space, go away. And you've got to think that when we're pushing our horses away, that's kind of how we're treating them, because that rope says, don't go away, but then our body language says go away. The round yard says don't go away, our body language says go away. So think of it like that, and it might make a lot of sense to you when you work a horse next time. Anyway, thanks, Sue. That was a good question, because it gets on a subject that I go on about, but it's good to get back on that subject every now and again and really kind of reinforce it, because there's a lot of people that after a few years of working with me, I said, well, what's the one thing that's helped you with your horse? And they said, well, I stopped pushing it away. And you may not push your horse away at all, and it could be a completely other reason, but maybe have a think about that, and maybe he's presenting the mounting block, he's getting really good at this, but he's fearful of the process of saddling up. Actually, he simply looks petrified, to be honest. We are using a saddle pad So it's nice, soft light. He sees the girth as a threat. So I have to go about it slowly but surely. It's in the initial stages once the saddle is on, then he seems to be fearful of moving mainly forward with left eye looking back at the saddle. He seems to either accept it or forget about it. He's more accepting of the saddle blanket and the saddle, but moves around. We do the girth. We let him do this. Okay. Rachel, I'd go back to putting a belly rope on him by the sounds of it. And I have a feeling, you know, the other thing is teaching to move. So if you can get him moving nice and close to you, like it sounds like he's freezing up and he's not dealing with it so well. So what you've got to think about is, okay, movement. Confidence with movement is one thing, and some horses, they barely can move around as confidently. And I remember at the clinic, that one of the biggest things he had trouble with was moving forward around you, away from you, just moving his feet softly around a person because, you know, he had been showed to move in other ways, which we kind of wanted to sort of change so he could move softly. So moving around a person could be, you know, he might have had three shots of worry moving around a person at one stage. Now he's still down to one shot, and he might still move around you with one shot, but the saddle just might overload some of that a little. So that soft movement around you on both sides, close to you. So when you're moving him around real close to you, like he's not kind of crabbing away, he's not freezing, he's all good at free, nice and free, and you can rub him over. And when you add the saddle blanket and things like that, instead of having him sort of standing while you're chucking stuff over him, get him to move and get him to follow the saddle blanket, and you know, maybe get him to come in and sniff it, and then as he's moving and center yourself, don't, like, it's so easy to kind of make a horse feel like we're going to put stuff on them. So some of those horses, it's better you can kind of draw them back and say, hey, why don't you just touch the saddle blanket, and you be real centered in your feet and just get him moving, get him to come, and you can rub him all over the saddle blanket whilst he's moving. And when he sort of moves softly while you're rubbing him all over that saddle blanket, then ask him to stand, and he'll probably stand softly, because standing, waiting to move, or freezing, not knowing how to move is a problem. So you can teach him, and if it's a light saddle, you can even start to rub him with the saddle and put it up on him whilst he's moving, and then get him to stand, and then put it on while he's standing. So I'd build things like that quite strongly. And then I would actually pay a little bit more attention to sort of when he, well, actually probably this is going back a little bit to before I talked about the movement, but you know, you can figure this out. So the other thing is as you're walking with saddles, blankets, things like that, watch when he gets nervous, and he might just start to change a little when you kind of get a meter away or 2 meters away or whatever it is. And then you might just stop there and wait. If he looks a little tighter, and then when he kind of goes, oh, I can accept that, step back a little until he's actually said, actually, I'm happy to have you come in with it. Because sometimes we just smother him with it, and they actually told us a little while before we got in that they were bothered by it. So that's something to look at. Onto the belly rope, I'd put the belly rope around him and put a rope around him and just gently pull it up a little bit, so the rope will have a ring on one end or something, so you can stand at a distance and pull up on it. When he starts to first get tight, just loosen it off a little. And then after a little, when he gets tight, you hold it a little, and then when he relaxes a little to that first amount of tension, then release it, and then build up the girthing a little. And then while he's got the belly rope on, ask him to move and pull the belly rope on and off and on and off till that girth area is really good at that. And then put the saddle on and work on that confident movement, and try to sort of be getting him to come into things as best you can, instead of just, you know, him moving away and chucking stuff on him and stuff like that. And with that girth, if you spend a bit more time, you know, maybe a couple of days on the girth pressure and getting real confident with girth pressure, and you can say, I can release it. You don't have to kind of, you know, have it on you all the time. Then with the saddle, you put it on, and only when you can hold that good girth pressure with the belly rope, the saddle on, and then just get him to walk around you softly, and just build him, and then just start to send him out and walk and get confident. And I'm sure he'll get better, but he's just a little bit cold backed, and you might want to spend a few more days having the saddle and blanket rubbing over him, working on the girth on its own, as in a belly rope, and then put the saddle and the girth together. But at all times, addressing that movement in him, as in he can move softly and stand softly at every part of the equation, and don't look kind of let him stand, because a lot of horses kind of freeze stand, and they're really good when we do anything with them. We do everything up, and then we go to move them, and they're just kind of like stuck, and they won't move, and they're quite frightened because they kind of tapped out somewhere through that process, and then all of a sudden it's all on them and they don't know how to deal with it. So each stage you work on a little separately and put it all together. And yeah, you can get on him bareback and yeah. So it sounds like if she got on him bareback, I just missed that last part of the question. I read it, but I didn't quite read it exactly right. But she's got on him bareback and moved a few steps. So that's really good. So it sounds like he's actually still stuck with having something on him. So what I just told you with the saddle and the girth is going to be very important in getting that movement. The other thing with barebacking, what you can do is just get a mounting block, lay over your horse with your belly, and just get them to move around you. Like the other thing is, you know, when you're moving them, instead of having them going around and out long running all the time now, you're going to be moving and you're going to be rubbing them all over while they're moving, both eyes, one side, the other, and they can move and softly have someone right in there close all over and massaging them while they're walking and things like that. And, you know, a lot of soft movement. And then you encourage that. And when you get your belly over, just, you know, even if you're there leading, you just have someone lay over the horse and just lead him around and kind of rub him, and yeah, that'll just build his confidence and he'll just get a lot better. So yeah, I just think just do a little more and add a little bit of movement into all your sessions, and then also build the girthing if he's fairly cold backed over time with that belly rope. And I think that'll give you some, yeah, hopefully that'll help. Tracy, now I think this one was a question we put back through to put on the bending exercises for softness on the ground. Is there a video on this? Now, it was a question more so if it was a video, but I wanted to answer this question online, because bending exercises for softness, just think of it like this. Horses can bend, unless they're stuck in a stable and ridden stiff all the time or injured. Horses can bend. Horses are, you know, they if they live out in a bit of a paddock environment, they stretch and they bend and they eat grass and they scratch each other, and they sort of get in all these kind of Houdini positions. So horses know how to bend. Softness is the horse understanding how to bend to pressure. Okay. So softness, I guess, is a horse is stiff. It's just this understanding of pressure that makes it seem stiff. So some people say, my horse is stiff on the left rein. Take the picture out of your head. Your horse doesn't know how to think into the left rein softly and bend naturally. Knows how to bend, just doesn't understand how to bend to the pressure. Take away the left rein, put a carrot there. Oh, horse bends. Wow. Got the shape you wanted, but the carrot caused the bend. So yes, there are videos online for anybody that, and a lot of them, you've got to, you know, there's not just a particular flexion lesson or this or that. A lot of the stuff I do is like getting a horse to softly yield through a rope and come towards me, things like that, and just changing their thoughts into the rope. And all those lessons are really good at getting them soft, you know, getting them to loosen up a little and lower their head to pressure a little and bend a little before know, in their groundwork to back up and things like that. That's all going to sort of be very good for them. But just be careful, because sometimes bending is like they've got to bend through the whole body. So, you know, you get a horse to bend a little bit in its pole, and it's got to loosen up in the neck, and it's got to loosen up in the base of the neck, and it's got to lift in the wither, and it's got to, you know, all that stuff. So with bending, you've got to imagine, I actually try and put tasks to it. So, you know, I'm going to ask a horse to back up till it loosens up and softens up. I'm going to get it to come round until it kind of loosens up, and depending on how I'm holding that rope, I might want it to reach out its front foot as it does it. So my bending is more so structured to get a horse to soften, sink into a movement. But if I want a horse just to bend a little, so I don't do a lot of... But it's not bad to, it's okay to do manipulation exercise where a horse can yield to pressure and not have to move its feet. It's okay to do that. So all you really got to do is get a horse to bend a little, and it thinks and softens into that spot, you know, whether it's bending its head or stretching a leg out or things like that. So you can do a lot with your horses of moving a leg until the horse picks it up and, you know, stretches it softly and, you know, bends a little, and I don't mind that, but you don't want to overdo the kind of flexing, bending stuff. So a horse actually just gives to pressure without thinking about a task, because then you can sort of have a horse that gets a little rubber-necked or not balanced in the feet when you take up a rein in a certain position when you're riding it. So, but yeah, I don't have any bending exercises for horses that... injured, as in you got to do mechanical kind of bending to fix a muscle or a soreness or a problem in your horse. It's more so educational softness. So Sarah, you've got a horse that pulls really hard on your bitless bridle, and I've worked with her in a group of horses. She will start off calm, wanting to travel at the front and walking, but it doesn't take much to get her excited. If horses start trotting non-stop ahead of her, I've tried riding in front, but when the horses start going, she becomes really difficult pulling non-stop. I've tried just letting her go, but she's off and away, so it doesn't work to do that. Any ideas on how to try to correct this? I'd like to try riding her in groups, but I'm starting to wonder if it's just too exciting for her. She's an 11-year-old Arabian mare pure and was an endurance horse. I don't know whether it's too much for her. I come across a lot of horses that have been a bit cooked. So the cooked ones were put under too much stress, and they get into a stressful environment and they kind of go on adrenaline overload. It's kind of, that's what they do. She could be just a really strong, focused alpha mare and really get out there in front. But the hardest thing is I don't know what she's like when she's on her own, as in she's probably a little heavy. She probably gets a little anxious. There's probably a lot of little things when she's on her own. You might feel okay when you're on your own with her, but she still might have brace and she still might be disconnected. It just, she doesn't have all that adrenaline to make it seem like it's dangerous or really out of hand. So, but basically, I wouldn't be sensible for a while taking it into big groups and big endurance rides and things like that, because you won't have enough tools, and it's a habit for her to go on that overload to help her. And maybe you trying to help her could just feel like a trap to her in that situation. So what I would encourage is possibly just going out with a few friends that can kind of, you know, just be a little helpful with him. See what happens when she gets on overload, as in maybe ride her up the front, and she could be a mare that gets up the front and still focuses ahead. But what I would actually do with her is to get her to learn how to settle in with horses, is get some horses that aren't kickers or something like that. And I mean, there's so much else. If I was, you know, this is just one thing, and there's so much, you know, that you could do. It'd be hard to answer in one question, in one answer. of you know, how is she connecting with the reins when she steers? Is she connected with you? Can you sit there and is she centered with you? And all that, you can go through all that. There's so much of that that I could sort of talk about, but I'm just going to give you something to think about on trail, just to help her settle in with horses a little, and hopefully that might be one little way you can sort of work with her. But if she's a mare, mares more so strong leaders, so they get out front, they lead really strong. So, but you can get most horses to settle in the herd and teach them just to settle in with a few horses and not just, you know, get on overload. So don't take her in an environment where everyone's racing and she's going to go on overload. It's not going to work. But get her with, you know, five or six horses and friends and stuff, and have a bit of a trail ride and just let her go out front. And then just at a walk, just get another horse to overtake and just watch her really closely. And you might see that when that horse's head starts to go past, she'll start to come back a little with her ears. And if that horse goes to leave out ahead, she's going to get bothered. But if that horse just goes up in lead and she's kind of going the same speed, but she's behind that horse a little bit, she'll start to relax a little, hopefully, and just say, well, I'm not the leader anymore. That horse takes charge. And then just bring that horse back again and walk her up into lead, and her ears will go forward, and that other one will come back a little. And just get her to do that backwards and forwards with the other horse, just until she goes, oh, you're taking charge. I'm relaxing a little and just thinking in the middle. Not relaxing, just not putting a focus out ahead. And just get her back feeling like she's amongst a herd again and working with the horses as a herd. And then you tuck her back a little further, and you can get them to a stage, if you're watching the way they're interacting with the other horses and what part they are in the mob. Even an alpha horse, I've seen alpha horses that are real strong leaders that, you know, you think you can never have at the back. If you put them at the back in the right way and just loose on them and just let them just not think about anything but just being where they are, they'll actually go back into their sort of herd mentality and actually go, well, I'm going to have to look out behind, so I'm not going to have a desire to get up front because my job at the moment is to look behind for safety. So if you even get to the stage where she's at the back, you can actually get another horse and even two horses and just crowd her a little. If they're not kickers, you know, if they're bad kickers, don't use those ones, but just crowd her a little and get those horses to crowd her a little, and she'll kind of go, oh, I've been told to be at the back. And then you just relax and you just let her settle, and she'll just go, oh, I'm at the back and I'm thinking behind. And just, I would actually take her out. And then the other thing you can do is when she's going pretty soft, then you just take her and you ride her around the horses a little and back, so she's actually thinking with you, riding around horses and things like that. And then let her put in a position in the herd where she has to actually take charge of her part in the herd, which is, I'm in the middle, I'm just cruising along, checking out here, I'm at the back, I've got to look at the back, or I'm the leader. And you just mix the horses up a little like that. And yeah, if they're too strong, then just block them a little with a couple other horses, and those horses will kind of tell them, hey, you stay at the back, and she'll kind of take that advice and go, okay. And that sometimes helps them just get a little less racy and more responsible for, you know, being in the herd and get used to being hot behind horses and stuff like that. But the biggest thing is trying to get her to be more connected with you, and that's going to be a lot of stuff on your own, you know, quality riding and quality connection, whether it be through the groundwork, through the ridden work, and how soft she is and how connected she is to all the turns and the backups and everything that you're doing. And that's something you've got to monitor all the time. So, but yeah, that thing in the herd just sometimes helps horses out a little. Yeah, anyway, that's, I hope that gives you some help. But yeah, so she's a bit nervous riding out on her own, it says here too, so yeah. Joe. Okay. Hi, Mark. To stay on the theme of anxiety, which is what I think I am dealing with Clancy, any advice on catching an anxious horse? I think he is improving as he now moves away rather than standing statue still when I go to get him. But it still takes on average half an hour for him to come to me to be caught. He's really bad when I turn up with the float. And at first I thought it was a float issue, but he pretty much self-loads and shows no signs of anxiety. Shut down in the float and unload. No signs of anxiety or being shut down in the float and unloads well. I notice that he is fine if I don't have the rope and hold it in my hand. So now I take it even if I'm just checking on them. Once caught, he's now fine with saddling and riding. We even get a soft roll into canter, which is great most of the time. So I think he still has a hang up on the actual catching process, if that makes sense. Briefly, what I do at the moment is approach, stand, or retreat, depending on his reaction to me meeting his bubble. I wait for signs of him relaxing or changing his focus, then either attempt to draw him or get him to refocus, usually hitting the ground with a rope or some noise and movement and start again. He's still bothered by something. If you turn up with a float and he's worse, there's obviously still some sort of anticipation with that, but we won't sort of go into that area. I think what you're doing is pretty good with the catching. Sounds like you're kind of paying attention to him and things like that. And sometimes catching can, you know, take a little while. The other thing, focus on him too much when you're catching. I'd just go into the paddock and walk past him and not be too interested in him. I'd probably try that approach a little and walk, you know, go and do something else for a little bit, walk around him, maybe pat him and walk away. You know, you still might use a bit of approach and retreat, but it's kind of like, you know, it's almost like you're walking into a gunfight every day. You're sort of going in there to catch him, and even though you might be going to do other stuff sometimes, I'd just be a little less interested in him, get him a little bit more interested in you. And when you do catch him, just try and make it feel pretty good and just lead him around a bit, give him a bit of a something that he likes. And I'd be walking in, and if his thoughts come towards you, I'll just walk off somewhere else, and just not make it seem like a catching showdown. Because even if you try and do it the best way you can, like how I probably would have helped you try and talk you through it, or how I would talk someone else through it, is you know, like if you're paying attention to the signs and stuff like that, and but yeah, pay attention to those signs. But you know, as soon as you get a bit of thoughts in your direction, just go and do something else and come back around again, and then, you know, just make it seem a little different and not so much of a big thing, and you might find you just might become a little bit more interested in it, and yeah, just might change things up a little for him. I can't really without kind of watching you go out there exactly, and because I've helped people that say the same things, but there's little bits that they've missed or something like that, or that where sometimes they've waited not long enough, and so. But I can't really be direct with that. But if you're doing all the other stuff fairly right, I'd actually just kind of, like, there's some horses that kind of I've worked with that were hard to catch, and I just kind of made them interested in me by being a little less interested in them. So you know, I'd walk away from them a little more, and you know, so when you say draw, I'd draw and walk off, and well, I forget about him for a bit. The other thing is, at some stage, there is another side you might want to take, and just set up a situation where you can actually be a little bit firmer on the, pay a little bit more attention to you. But it's a hard one. You know, that may come into play, and you might have to set up that situation for him so he's a little bit more observant. But I just try and not make it seem like you're walking into a gunfight every time, and break it up like that, and just see what happens. And then maybe if nothing changes, just let me know, and maybe just send another video through of how you catch him, and I might be able to sort of help you on that too, a bit more personally. But I'm glad everything else is going good, Joe. I'm really happy for you. That's, you know, you're really, really proud of the way you stuck through everything, and yeah, it's really good to see other things are going really well, and everything's slowly improving. So good on you. I think, Joe, you're the last question, Joe Gardner. I will answer this one. I've gone a bit over time, but I'll get this one answered. The young horse that I know of yours, Joe, that I helped you with, he's come back unridden. He's extremely anxious and nervous of everything we try and do with him, even putting a light saddle blanket on his back, very aware of placing the lead on his back. We found out he had a flank rope. How do I get past this? He is so far from being ready to mount, and when the weather permits and other unavoidable life situations aren't springing up, we have just been trying to get him a little more relaxed with things and keeping a connection. He appears to shut down, but with massive anxiety, if that makes sense. Yes, it does. Like a terrified freeze, yet will follow Trevor around in the round yard as if he is desperate for help and approval. I hope I'm explaining this quite right. Actually, yeah, it's a hard one, Joe. It's really hard. I kind of, because I know him, I kind of, and I know that feeling when a horse, something's happened and the horse kind of been bothered. So what's probably happened is had a fright. He's got frightened bucking or something like that. So basically, and I've seen this in horses, even horses myself. I haven't even had a big reason to get frightened, but there's some part of their education that changes and they go, no, I don't trust anything. And it seems to like they get really, really troubled. Before that, they kind of okay. So there's one part of his education that's come up to with him that's could have been the rope around his flank, could have been him bucking. It's made him go, wow, that really overwhelms me. I'm really, really frightened. So to deal with it, it's kind of a hard one because you can sort of sneak up to it all the time. You can put a saddle blankets on him. You can put belly ropes on him. You can do all these things and handle him. But there's this point that he thinks it's going to happen, something's going to happen. And I'd say he just got a big shock when he first bucked or something like that. And it kind of set him back a long way. And some horses I've seen seem like nervous wrecks and they've got a fright in a saddle, bucked around and never affected them one bit. They just got on with their education and kept going. Other horses have seemed quite quiet and they had a freak out. And then you think, geez, that really set you back a long way. And sometimes you kind of wonder why, because you think everything wasn't that bad. And so, but I really don't know, you know, exactly what's happened and you know, when he was handled, when he had his work. So, but he's had a setback, and it's because it's because a fright happened, and he just hasn't been able to deal with it. So you kind of got to get him up to a little fright and take him away from it. So you can go as soft as you like and you'll have him so good, but the anticipation of the thing that bothered him is going to kind of happen a lot, and it's going to be like, oh, here it comes, or this is coming, and he's going to be, you know, waiting for it almost. And by the sounds of it, that's kind of what's happening. So you've got to set up a situation where you can kind of bring him up to a fright, but help him out of it, just like I would get a horse a little bothered with a flag and then help him out of it. Now, the hardest thing is because he may have gone into overload on his first fright, and that's why he doesn't cope with it. So now he doesn't want to go back there, and he doesn't trust people because it was in their jurisdiction that it happened. So, but you've got to show him in your jurisdiction he can get a little fright, come out of it through your help. I think that's the way to do it. I'm wary to give you sort of something to do in case, you know, because it's hard to give you something that might frighten you more and you don't help him out of it. So I'd use something, whether it be a flag or something, because now it seems like you can bother him pretty easily. And I would actually kind of bring him up to a certain point where he's kind of anxious and he doesn't know what to do with it and he's just lost. And I would kind of keep him at that point, and then I would take him out of that point and say, look, I can take you out of this through the feel of the lead. And then when he's come out of it, and he's coming out of it, and he's kind of gone out of that spot, then you kind of really kind of make him feel good and come into you and say, look, I can help you, buddy. I'm here. And you're going to have to take him up to that a few times to make him kind of get back up into that worried area, but realize he doesn't have to overload. He's got answers when he gets there, and maybe the fear of that unknown will go away, because when things get a little bit, the things that he's not sure about will become more known to him, and he'll realize that he doesn't have to get to a flip out point, and maybe it's not letting him get to the bucking point. So that sensitive area of the girth and the back and things like that, you wouldn't go to the most sensitive spot to fix it. You might go to but you've got to kind of get him up there a little bit and bring him out. And I'd start with just not pressure on him, not actually physical pressure that he can feel, like a belly rope or something like that. I'd just start with a little bit of mental pressure, like a flag that bothers him or something, and sort of supply it till he gets anxious, and then draw him in a way that you can keep it on. And then he starts to search a little through the feel or whatever, and you see him thinking, and when he starts to activate his mind and think a little towards the feel or towards you, then you can take that stimulant away and say, look, you got through that, mate. Because I think downright flooding him would be too much. Like, you can, you know, sometimes there are instances where a little bit of flooding help a horse, and they've got to go through it, especially ones that have kind of not, they've come out going, oh, crikey, I can't cope. But flooding also can make them shut down, and it can also do more damage. But bringing him up a little bit with something that bothers him, and keep on him with your guiding tool until he starts to look for that guiding tool, and then take away that stimulant a little that bothered him, and then let him find that guiding tool and go, oh yeah, I found my way out of that. But it's a hard one, because it might take a little bit of time, because I have seen horses that what seemed to be a half small thing bothered them for a long time after it, and yeah, it's a little hard to fix. And hopefully when I'm going through Victoria, I might be able to talk to you a little more about it. I'll just have a little drive as I drive through, might have a look at him or something, see if I can give you a bit more personal advice on him, so we can kind of get you on the right track. Anyway, oh, there's just some questions Jenny passed me that's come through just right at the moment. Which one is it? Rhonda, do you do any backing up on a long rope? Can't remember if there is any VAs on it. I'm not sure what you mean, Rhonda. Is that like getting a horse to kind of back up, whether you do that, like, or something like that? I don't do a lot of videos on it, but I do teach it at clinics sometimes when people want to know it. So with backing up on a long rope, there's a few ways. What I'm wary of is I've seen good trainers put a bump on a horse with a rope and fix it. But I've seen a lot of people put a bump on a horse and not fix it. So they put a brace in the horse. So I'm a bit wary of getting a long rope and wiggling it on a horse and getting it to back up, especially when they get the horse to back up, but the horse is kind of rewarded by backing up with a brace. And a lot of horses I've seen, no one commits to something long enough to get a good change and the horse to soften it back up. So what I would encourage to do is get on a long rope, put a little feel on it, you know, whether it's a little wobble or a feel, it gets that horse to feel it. And then you can kind of just walk into your horse a little in the sense of, even if you say you had one way to do it. And this is not chasing on a horse. This is just like once a horse becomes more aware of your presence and your bubble, you could just kind of give them a back off your feel a little bit. And it's okay if you do a little of that. It's just when people are pushing their horse around all the time, they get a pretty bad, horse thinking towards pressure kind of thing. But if you do it in increments, you can be a little careful with it. So you might have a little flag or something like that in your hand, and you can put a little feel up your rope, and then you just lean up a little on your horse, and then just pop the flag a couple of times, and the horse will kind of back off because the flag kind of made it a little wary and it backed off. And then you might put a little feel up your horse, feel up the rein, and just pop your flag a little, and the horse will back off a little, until after a while the horse will realise a little bit of feel means backwards, and then you do it enough times that you see the horse just thinking backwards and coming backwards. But for everybody else, you don't teach a horse to back like that. I would rather teach a horse to back up good just by a normal back up under the chin or something like that, and get it to really think strongly backwards. So when they back up well. And then I teach them to back up from a distance a little better, just in case you got a horse that kind of likes scrambling the back away from you and doesn't know what to do. If their back are nice and soft and good, then. The other thing I sometimes do is don't start on a long rope, start on a shorter rope. So you might just start, only a metre or so from your horse, and you just sort of, you put a little wobble up your rope and get them to back. And if they don't, you just get the rest of your rope, you take the wobble, and then when they don't back up, you just step in and put the rope on their nose, like make a fence and just say back up. And then you do it again and repeat that until they know that, oh, when you do this, if I back up, that's what you want, because you're just going to come in and back them anyway. And I probably do that opposed to sort of just keeping getting harder and harder on that rope and kind of bumping them until they go backwards, because most people I've seen kind of do that. They tend to get a horse to finish, do the back up, but they kind of finish it on a brace, and sometimes if they don't get it right, when the rope gets a bit, active or anything, that the horse kind of braces up, and when they see that rope coming or something, so I don't like them to brace through a rope. But anyway, thank you everybody. Went a bit over time tonight, sorry about that, but I hope I answered everyone's questions. I do the best I can, but some of the questions, it's kind of like, it's so much easier to watch a horse and a person and go, oh, that's where you should be doing this, or that's where you should be doing that. But I hope it gives you enough food for thought to use your own creativity and get in and try some things. But yeah, until next time, thank you. See you later.